I was married from home, and I'll die in marriage.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Another hits jam from WAPLOADED.com.
Good evening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that Christmas song. Welcome to the Defender 7 Saturday night broadcast, History of the Navy, with your host, Colonel Kimberly Purvis, and I'm your co-host and general of the Defender 7, Bobby Ormsby. Welcome. Now, if you'd like to call in, which I hope we get a few people to call in, number to call us here, area code 914 205-5773. Again, the number to call to participate, area code 914-205-5773. Now, I'd like to welcome your host, our Colonel Kimberly Purvis, and our major pain in the ass, Lorna Munson.
Yay, yahoo.
Oh, howdy ho.
Howdy hi.
Yeah,
well,
you're high.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're... Now, hopefully.
Did you like the song?
Yeah, I liked it. Pretty cool.
All right.
Hopefully, all right, we'll be able to do a whole show. My phone is seriously, it's jacked up bad. I'm still waiting for a phone, so. Because I'm not touching it, hopefully this will work. I don't know. We'll find out.
Did you find the 4G
phone or did you go with the 5G? No, it's a 4G phone, but that's not the problem. I dropped it, and the screen is cracked, and then I did that update, and all of that together has jacked up my phone.
Your new phone.
Oh, my new phone is sitting in a container somewhere off the coast of California.
Yeah, you want me to fly out there and get it for you?
Is your new one a 5G or a 4G? Really?
I think it's a 4. I don't know. It's an iPhone 11, so I don't know.
Hey, Kim.
The iPhone 11, is it a 5 or 4G?
If it's going to take a while, take the phone to the Geek Squad. Because that happened to my daughter's phone. After the update, it started freezing. Yeah, she's got a cracked screen too. But after the update, it stopped her from being able to do anything. Like she can make calls.
I lost almost 2,000 pictures.
Yeah, they could probably recover it.
And all my videos that I just took of Gatlinburg in the mountains. All of those, I can't open any of them. And you have to finish rebooting or whatever the hell you have to do. I got some of the pictures back, but, you know.
Like I said.
And then my GPS wanders.
Like I said, the same thing happened with my daughter's phone. It's an iPhone.
Yeah.
And we took it to the Geek Squad, and the guy hooked it up to this little booter thing and found the problem right out, and he put that patch in it, and it's been working ever since.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I'm still going to do the upgrade, but, I mean, I already upgraded.
Right.
I'm waiting for it to come in. I already paid the tax on the damn phone, but... Like I said, it scrolls to the top of your messages, and you get a scroll to the bottom, and it goes back to the top, and my Google Maps wanders.
Right.
It's like if you touch the screen to find out how far you get to go and where, and it says recenter, it does it on its own. It's like, what the hell? So, yeah, it's a pain in the ass. So, like I said, hopefully it won't shut off or do anything stupid. So if I disappear, I'll call back. So there's two things. One, if anybody lives in Wichita and they happen to be listening and you're in need of a new car or a newer used car, do not go to CarBank. They are crooks. And something that I did not know, they're not associated with the Better Business Bureau, and there's been numerous complaints made in the last 6 months against them. And they lie. Actually, it's not the dealership that lies. It's their bank that lies. That's their bank. Because they finance. You can have a vehicle financed with them. They're the ones that lie. And... they're very hateful and non-cooperative, And they we gave the truck back today, and they said, well, you're going to have to pay the repo guy. I ain't paying shit. Do you know who they had come get the truck? Their own employees. That's who came to pick it up. Wasn't a repo company. I'm like, I ain't paying it. I don't care. So, and the other thing is something actually is very serious. I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not, since the communist he's a communist too, de Blasio, I hope New York tanks, like, goes bankrupt so bad that people are forced to leave New York. Their police department is a disgrace. They're arresting people at the Cheesecake Factory and Applebee's for not wearing a mask and not providing a vaccine card. And they're like 30 cops showed up to arrest like 5 or 6 people.
Yep.
Okay. If we don't stand up, we're going to end up like fucking Australia.
Yep.
Now I get, you know, it's their restaurant, and if they don't want non-vaccinated people, that's fine. I understand that completely. But it's just a fucking mask. How are you going to eat with a mask on?
The same way the idiots kiss.
Yeah, they shower with a freaking mask on. So, anyone in New York, shame on you, cops. I have no respect for you anymore. For the idiots that stood there in front of Applebee's in New York City to arrest those 6 people for not having a vaccine, I hope every business goes belly up and goes bankrupt.
Look, it's not just the police officers, but what about the businesses that are reporting the people? They actually called the police on these people. The police weren't just reading it.
Applebee's? Yeah, but no. I understand that. Applebee's and Cheesecake Factory. I don't give a shit if they're in friggin' East Bumfuck, Alabama. I will never eat at Applebee's again, nor the Cheesecake Factory. I do not care. I do not care. I like Applebee's. I will never eat there again. I don't care which state you're in.
No, I agree.
And the cops could have said, no, we're not arresting them. I mean, don't get me wrong. None of the people were violent or they did nothing wrong. They walked in and then they did not have a vaccine or the card or whatever. They refused to show it. Now, here's the thing. What gets me, I do home health, right? And two of the elderly complexes that I have to go to, someone has COVID, right? One has 3 stories and one is 6 stories. Now, here's the thing. They get a sign that says all social events have been canceled because somebody's got COVID. And I said, well, do they know how many people? Because we have to do a COVID screen. Are you at high risk of getting COVID or low risk, this, that, and the other? And you know what they told me? Oh, we can't divulge how many people because that's a violation of your civil rights. I said, really? But not forcing people to get a vaccine. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's all bullshit.
Right.
But
no, I agree.
Anywho, yeah, so if any business in America wants to be stupid, I will share that information far and wide. I do not care, and you will be boycotted. Someone asked me why I won't give to the Salvation Army. I said, because I'm not going to apologize for being white. Sorry, kiss my ass. You no longer get my money. Won't do it. I will give the toys for tots before I give to the Salvation Army now. So,
no, I don't give to Salvation Army. I don't give to Goodwill. I don't give to any of those major organizations because, like Bobby says in the beginning, they don't give the money to the people. It used to be that they kept, I think, like 20 or 30% for overhead. Now they keep like 90 or 95% for overhead. So barely any of it actually goes to the people they're supposed to be helping.
Yeah, the Goodwill is the same way. They were
Salvation Army, Goodwill, United Way.
When you donate clothes, when you donate items to the Goodwill, the employees will go through it beforehand, and they will take home whatever they want, and the rest of it goes into the store. I know this because my mom was a frequent shopper at the Goodwill in Harriman, Tennessee, and there's multiple locations, so I'm not going to say which one. But the manager told her.
If you want to donate, I do Carm down in Tennessee. They have a group called Carm. They're good. I like Carm.
Yeah, Carm Stores. Yeah.
Or AmVet. It's the veterans. They're a little more expensive to buy stuff out of them, but the majority of the money goes to veterans. The proceeds. You know, it used to be Goodwill and Salvation Army. They actually gave some of that away for free. It's like when there was fires and stuff. But now it turns out you got to wind up paying that shit back. And I'm like, I don't want to bother with them.
So I know it's Christmas season and everything. And with everything going on that happened in Kentucky and stuff, and then Illinois, you know, at the Amazon warehouse and all that, there's a lot of churches that's collecting supplies and toys for the kids, you know, because they've lost everything. They have nothing, you know. So I'm trying to find out who it is that we can donate to, because they said the Red Cross, they said Salvation Army, but I wouldn't. That's up to you. If you want to donate to them, I'm not.
Wait. Kentucky, if you're, I don't, whatever state, I don't know who you specifically want to donate to, but Kentucky, the state of Kentucky, has set up their own website to collect funds, and 100% of it will be going to the people, and I think the governor's wife is running it.
I've seen that too.
There's also I can't think of what church organization it is, but they're collecting toys and they're making boxes up for the kids and then clothes. I mean, they're doing a lot, you know, for these families, and they need it. And it's not just toys. I mean, they're giving them food and clothes and things like that, and really helping out to help them. It's going to take years. 90% of Mayfield, Kentucky, was destroyed. 90% of the town was destroyed.
It's flat.
And then the other town in Kentucky, starts with a B, and I forgot the hell the name of it was. But there's three towns in Kentucky that was, just almost destroyed completely.
Yeah.
So.
They were devastated.
But anywho, so.
And it's kind of hard to believe that was natural.
Oh, I'm still saying it's HAARP. I think it's all bullshit. I think it's HAARP. For those of you who don't know what HAARP is, go look it up.
Did you see that sandstorm that hit Kansas the next day? And, you know, not
no shit. I was here.
Yeah.
That's where I live, in Kansas.
I know, but I didn't know if it was where you are.
Oh, it was the whole state. The whole state.
That's not natural. That's not natural.
It was the second set of storms that came through, right? And we went from 60s and 70 to 30. It is now 19 degrees outside. And yesterday it was 75. This is not natural. Yeah. It's not climate change. It's bullshit. Okay? Mm-hmm. But the sandstorm was so bad, I swear to God, it looked like dirty fog. It was, you know, fog is that white mist, right? It's white.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this was like a whitish yellow. And we had anywhere from 60 to 100 mile an hour wind gust.
But I don't understand.
And we almost lost our...
Is that something that Kansas does get? I mean, I know that it's called the Dust Bowl.
The reason why is because it's getting close to winter and there's no grass to cover the dirt, so that's why the sand gets whipped up. And we've also had little to no precipitation in the last month. And I'm talking probably not even a half inch of rain. Okay? And so, but we do get wind here all the time. We get straight line winds. We get bad winds all the time,
right.
Year round. Doesn't matter. But it stormed in West Wichita for about a whopping 20 minutes, and then it stopped. It's just not natural. Not to have all this. I mean, we are 1 degree off. We are one degree off of a high. It was 76 degrees in December. Yeah. So, anywho, last week we did the history of the U.S. Army, and today we're going to do the Navy and also frogmen and all that cool stuff. But here's the good thing. Bobby was a Navy SEAL, so Bobby can put his two cents in and let us know some inside stuff. If he doesn't fall asleep, yep, you're right. So the history of the U.S. Navy divides into two major periods, the Old Navy, which is a small but respected force of sailing ships that was notable for innovation in the sea, or in the use of ironclads during the American Civil War. And the New Navy was a result of a modernization effort that began in the 1880s. And by 1943, we had the largest Navy in the world. The U.S. Navy claims October 13, 1775 as the date of its official establishment. And I thought the Marines, it was Army and then the Marines, but it was Army, Navy, Marines. And then the Air Force was actually part of, I think we talked about last week, the Air Force used to be part of the Army. And then it
really?
Was
I thought it
made
the Navy.
Into... No.
Huh.
Actually, it's Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. You know how when people say it? Because that's exactly
right.
How the branches were formed, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. But the Army does have planes and helicopters and all that cool shit, and that belongs to the Air Force now. So we still, I mean, the Army still has the C-130s and stuff, but it's Air Force pilots that fly them. So anyway, when the Second Continental Congress passed a resolution creating the Continental Navy, and with the end of the American Revolutionary War, the Continental Navy was disbanded. Under John Adams, American merchant shipping came under threat while in the Mediterranean by Barbary pirates from four North African Muslim states. And this led to the Naval Act of 1794, which created a permanent standing in the U.S. Navy. So it was created, disbanded, and then started back up again.
That's interesting.
The original six frigates were authorized as part of the act. Over the next 20 years, the Navy fought the French Republic Navy in the Quasi-War from 1798 to 1799. Barbary states in the First and Second Barbary Wars and the British in the War of 1812. After the War of 1812, the U.S. Navy was at peace until the Mexican-American War in 1846 and served to combat piracy in the Mediterranean Caribbean Sea, as well as fighting the slave trade off the coast of West Africa. In 1845, the Naval Academy was founded at Fort Severn at Annapolis, Maryland, by the Chesapeake Bay. In 1861, the American Civil War began, and the U.S. Navy fought the small Confederate states with Navy. The United States Navy with both sailing ships and new revolutionary ironclad ships, while forming a blockade that shut down the Confederacy civilian coast shipping. So, yes, the military took sides. After the Civil War, most of its ships were laid up in reserve, and by 1878, the Navy was just 6,000 men. In 1882, the U.S. Navy consisted of many outdated ship designs, and over the next decade, Congress approved building multiple modern steel-hulled armored cruisers and battleships, and by around the start of the 20th century, had moved from 12th place in 1870 to 5th place in terms of number of ships. Most sailors were foreigners. After winning two major battles during the 1898 Spanish-American War, the American Navy continued to build more ships, and by the end of World War I, had more men and women in uniform than the British Royal Navy. The Washington Naval Conference of 1921 recognized the Navy as equal in capital ship size to the Royal Navy. And during the 1920s and 1930s, the Navy built several aircraft carriers and battleships.
Yeah, well, thank you.
The Navy was drawn in.
In the White House, we're about to be number two.
Shit. America's heading to be a shithole country. And I hate to say that, but hold on a second. I just had a hold on. Oh, okay. Damn it. Now my laptop's being retarded. See, I lost my place. Okay, so the Navy was drawn into World War II after the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. And over the next 4 years, fought many historic battles, including the Battle of the Coral Sea, the Battle of Midway, multiple naval battles during the Guadalcanal campaign, and the largest naval battle in history, the Battle of it's Leyte Gulf. I have no idea how to pronounce that. Leyte. Yeah, Leyte Gulf. Leyte Gulf. Much of the Navy's activity concerned the support of landings, not only with the island hopping campaign in the Pacific, but also with the European landings. When the Japanese surrendered, a large flotilla entered Tokyo Bay to witness the formal ceremony conducted on the battleship Missouri, on which officials from the Japanese government signed the Japanese Instrument of Surrender. By the end of the war, the Navy had over 1,600 warships. After World War II ended, the U.S. Navy entered a 45-year-long Cold War and participated in the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and the First Persian Gulf War, the Second Persian Gulf War, and the Iraq War. Following the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1990 and 1991, the Soviet Red Navy fell apart, which made the United States the world's undisputed naval superpower. Nuclear power and ballistic missile technology led to new ship propulsion and weapon systems, which were used in the Nimitz-class aircraft carriers and Ohio-class submarines. By 1978, the number of ships had dwindled to less than 400, many of which were from World War II, which prompted Ronald Reagan to institute a program for a modern 600-ship Navy. Today, the U.S. is the world's undisputed naval superpower still, with the ability to engage and project power into two simultaneous limited wars long separate front. In March of 2007, the U.S. Navy reached its smallest fleet size with 274 ships since World War I. Former U.S. Navy admirals who headed the U.S. Naval Institute have raised concerns about what they see as the ability to respond to aggressive moves by Iran and China. The U.S. Navy has overtaken the Chinese, the People's Liberation Army Navy, in terms of raw number ships in 2020.
Yeah, that's because
the Navy was
that the Chinese were sneakily converting to military.
Yeah.
Everybody thought
the Navy was
building ships.
Oh, I know. The Navy was rooted in the American seafaring tradition, which produced a large community of sailors, captains, shipbuilders in the colonial era. During the Revolution, several states operated their own navies. On June 12, 1775, the Rhode Island General Assembly passed a resolution creating a navy for the colony of Rhode Island. The same day,
wow.
Governor Nicholas Cook signed orders addressed to Captain Abraham Whipple, commander of the sloop Katy and commodore of the armed vessels employed by the government. The first formal movement for the creation of a continental navy came from Rhode Island because its merchants' widespread smuggling activities had been severely harassed by British frigates. On August 26, 1775, Rhode Island passed a resolution that there be a single continental fleet funded by the Continental Congress. The resolution was introduced in the Continental Congress on October 3rd, 1775, but was tabled. In the meantime, George Washington had begun to acquire ships, starting with the schooner USS Hannah that was paid for out of Washington's own pocket. Hannah was commissioned and launched on September 5th, 1775, under the command of Captain Nicholson Broughton from the port of Marblehead, Massachusetts. The U.S. Navy recognizes, like I said, October 13th, 1775, as the date of its official enlistment establishment. The date of the passage of the resolution of the Continental Congress at Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that created the Continental Navy. Congress authorized the building of 13 frigates within the next 3 months, five ships of 32 guns, five with 28 guns, and three with 24. On Lake Champlain, Benedict Arnold ordered the construction of 12 Navy vessels to slow down the British fleet that was invading New York from Canada. The British fleet did destroy Arnold's fleet, but the U.S. fleet managed to slow down the British after a two-day battle, known as the Battle of Valcour Island, and managed to slow progression of the British Army. By mid-1776, a number of ships ranging up to and including 13 frigates approved by Congress were under construction, but their effectiveness was limited. They were completely outmatched by the mighty Royal Navy, and nearly all were captured or sunk by 1781. Privateers had some success, with 1,697 letters of marque being issued by Congress. Individual states, American agents in Europe and the Caribbean also issued commissions. Taking duplications into account, more than 2,000 commissions were issued by the various authorities. So over 2,000 British ships were taken by Yankee privateers, amounting to almost $66 million, a significant sum at the time. No kidding. $66 million back then is like, you know, $10 trillion now.
Probably.
I don't know. I don't think it's that. I mean, it's up there. Maybe a couple trillion.
$66 million is a lot today, too.
Or a couple hundred billion. So one particularly notable American novel hero was the John Paul Jones, who in his famous voyage around the British Isles defeated a British ship, Serapis, in the Battle of Flamborough Head. Now, okay, never mind. It was a person. Because I was going to say the John Paul Jones is actually a naval ship in the TV series The Last Ship. And it had to do with a virus that went around the world and killed everybody.
I remember that.
Huh?
I remember that show.
Yeah, I watched it all, and it was only 5 seasons because it was a book. And the first season was the whole virus that went around, and they were the only ship that was left. And it wiped out 2/3 of the world's population. Okay, season 2 was them finding the vaccine and creating it. Season 3 was, 3, 4, and 5 was about different countries. I think the first one was, I can't remember. Not Korea. Well, it might have been North Korea and South Korea and all of those islands.
Yeah, I don't remember the first season, but I remember it.
Yeah. But the thing is, the ship was called the John Paul Jones. And I looked it up. I'm like, oh, that's what I looked it up. See, right here. But John Paul Jones was an actual person. But the thing is, the John Paul Jones was not a naval ship. The guy just took, he just took the guy's name and he made a ship and they named it after him. See, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, wait a minute, but yeah, this is, hold on a second. But yeah, anywho.
You watch the original scary movie? I watched A Time to Die.
I think I've heard of that.
The James Bond movie?
Oh, yeah.
It's about a virus. It's a targeted virus that attacks certain people based on their DNA. And you've got China collecting everybody's DNA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, partway through the battle with the rigging of the two ships entangled and several guns of Jones's ship, the Von Homme Richard, out of action, the captain of the Serapis asked Jones if he had struck his colors, to which Jones had been quoted as replying, "I have not yet begun to fight." France officially entered the war on June 17, 1778, and the ships of the French Navy set to the Western Hemisphere spent most of the year in the West Indies and only sailed near the 13 colonies during the Caribbean hurricane season from July to November. And the French fleet attempted landings in New York and Rhode Island, but ultimately failed to engage British forces during 1778. In 1779, a fleet commanded by Vice Admiral Charles Henry, Comte d'Estaing, assisted American forces in attempting to recapture Savannah, Georgia. In 1780, a fleet with 6,000 troops commanded by Lieutenant General Jean-Baptiste Comte de Rochambeau landed at Newport, Rhode Island, and shortly afterwards the fleet was blockaded by the British. In early 1781, Washington and de Rochambeau planned an attack against the British in the Chesapeake Bay area to coordinate with the arrival of a large fleet commanded by Vice Admiral Francois Comte, successfully deceiving the British that an attack was planned in New York. Washington and Rochambeau marched to Virginia, and DeGrasse began landing forces near Yorktown, Virginia. On September 5, 1781, a major naval action was fought by DeGrasse and the British near the Battle of Virginia Capes, ending the French fleet in control of the Chesapeake Bay. the U.S. Navy continued to interdict British supply ships until peace was finally declared in late 1783. Bobby, are you still amongst us? Hello?
No, I'm hiding. I'm hiding.
You're hiding. Oh, you got to be there to put in your 2 cents worth, maybe, guys?
One, two.
You're funny, smartass. You're gonna put your input in when I go over the frogmen because, sir, you were a Navy SEAL. And I don't care if you want to or not.
Was anything special about the Navy that made you pick it over one of the other services, Bobby?
Oh, we did Army last week. We did Army last week.
No, I was asking Bobby why he decided to join the Navy over one of the other.
Because Bobby couldn't hack it in the Army. That's why he picked the Navy.
Shit. I ain't John and Weathers now.
No, I'll give you credit. You were in the SEALs. So, yeah, I'll give you credit there. But, yeah, but we'll go with that. I thought you were talking about why we picked.
No. I know
to do the Navy.
Unfortunately, I've been having some issues I think there was a timing issue. I was doing something when you did the Army. I just was curious.
The twins' birthday or something?
It was their birthday. Tonight I'm supposed to be making cookies, but they decided to watch Elf, and I hate that movie, so I'm taking a break and I'm listening to you guys.
I hate that damn movie. That's right up there with that stupid Christmas movie. You know the one where he wants
the rifle? The air rifle.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Yeah, I don't
hate
like
that stupid movie.
I don't like that movie either.
So anyway, the disarmament of the Navy from 1785 to 1794. The Revolutionary War was ended by the Treaty of 1783. So by 1785, the Continental Navy was disbanded and the remaining ships were sold. The frigate Alliance, which had fired the last shots of the American Revolutionary War, was also the last ship in the Navy. A faction within the Congress wanted to keep the ship.
I didn't realize they got rid of all the ships. I said, that's interesting. I didn't realize they got rid of all the ships.
Yeah, but like I said, our Navy was disbanded, and then they started it back up again. Now, Bobby, why do they decommission ships? Because of age or what?
This is the part where I wish John or Weathers was on, but if I had to take a wild crack at it, is age... the ship's actually starting to break down and not overhauling.
And technology?
Yeah, technology, everything, you know, just upgrades.
Yeah, I mean, like, you want to go see a cool ship, the USS Alabama, that docked. It's been decommissioned, and that sits in Gulf Shores, Alabama. I believe it's in Gulf Shores or right in that general vicinity. It is pretty cool. And right in the next building.
When I went to California, we went on a couple of ships. I forget where.
I mean, it's pretty cool because they got it docked and then they got a submarine there, and then they have they actually have a building with all of the Army stuff also. So, I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
if you ever get the opportunity, you could go on it.
In Philadelphia, we have some of the some ships, too, or at least they used to.
Yeah,
I honestly don't I don't know how anybody, I've just, you guys are crazy as shit, but I just couldn't. Theirs is so compacted in there. And
no,
then when
not.
They give you.
Believe it or not, they're not.
The USS Alabama is. And that could be why they decommissioned that bitch. It is tiny. I mean, it's a massive ship, don't get me wrong. And you get to climb in the turret and all that, and you get, like, bicycle seats to sit on. But for the most part, that's just, man, it's got everything you need, though. It's got a dentist, the doctors. You got a little PX little store in there. They got a tailor.
You talking about the carriers?
The USS Alabama.
What kind of ship did you say it was?
It's the USS Alabama. I couldn't tell you shit. I wasn't in the Navy.
An aircraft carrier, a battleship, what the hell is the other one?
Fuck if I know.
Well,
I don't know.
It's not an aircraft carrier because they even have McDonald's on board aircraft carriers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Aircraft carriers are like small floating cities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never put, no, this was probably, I don't know. Hold on a second. Let me look it up, I guess.
You should know.
I think it was a battleship. I think the Alabama was an FFG.
Okay, the USS Alabama.
You sunk by battleship. And
it's a battleship.
Yeah, got it.
It was a battleship. Yeah, the Nimitz class and all that.
I think it's cool. I like military info stuff.
Okay, so it was the fourth and final member of the South Dakota class of last battleships built for the U.S. Navy in the 30s. The first American battleships were designed after the Washington Treaty system began to break down in the mid-30s. They took advantage of an escalator clause that allowed increasing the main battery to 16-inch guns, but congressional refusal to authorize larger battleships kept their displacement close to the Washington limit of 35,000 long tons, a requirement to be armored against the same caliber guns as they carried, combined with the displacement restriction, resulted in cramped ships. Overcrowding was exacerbated by wartime modifications. That's why it was a very cramped ship. I kid you not. It's cool as crap to go in there. And you could go into the bow of the ship where all all of the firepower is. It is pretty cool. You can't go to the very bottom though, and some of the rounds they're massive. They are massive. But it was decommissioned in 1947. That's how long it's been sitting there. Since 1964, which is pretty cool.
And I wonder how
that is.
I said, I wonder if they're taking good care of it. If they had to pull it out of a dock, would it float?
Oh yeah, it's still there.
It's in water.
It's docked.
That doesn't mean it can go out to sea and the engines work.
Oh, no. That don't mean shit.
Right.
The
rate we're going, we may need it. You heard Biden.
Only if aliens attack. So American merchant shipping had been protected by the British Navy. And as a consequence of the Treaty of Paris and disarmament of the Continental Navy, the U.S. no longer had any protection for its ships from pirates. The fledgling nation did not have the funds to pay annual tribute to the Barbary states, so their ships were vulnerable for capture after 1785. So by 1789, the new Constitution of the U.S. authorized Congress to create a navy. But during George Washington's first term, little was done to rearm the navy. In 1793, the French Revolutionary Wars between Great Britain and France began, and a truce negotiated between Portugal and Algiers that ended the Portugal blockade of the Strait of Gibraltar, which had kept the Barbary pirates in the Mediterranean. So soon after, the pirates sailed into the Atlantic and captured 11 American merchant ships and more than 100 seamen. In reaction to the seizure of the American vessels, Congress debated and approved the Naval Act of 1794, which authorized the building of 6 frigates, 4 of 44 guns, and 2 of 36. Supporters are mostly from the northern states in the coastal region, who argue the Navy would result in savings and an insurance and ransom payment, while opponents from southern states and inland regions thought the Navy was not worth the expense and would drive the U.S. into more costly wars.
That's interesting.
So after the passage of the Naval Act of 1794, work began on the construction of, like I said, the 6 frigates, the USS United States, President, Constellation, Chesapeake, Congress, and Constitution. Those are the 6 frigates. The Constitution launched in 1797. The most famous of the 6 was nicknamed Old Ironsides, like the earlier HMS Britannia. And thanks to the efforts of Oliver Wendell Holmes, Sr., is still in existence today, anchored in Boston Harbor. Soon after the bill was passed, Congress authorized $800,000 to obtain a treaty with the Algerians and ransom the captives, triggering an amendment of the act that would halt the construction of ships if peace was declared. After considerable debate, 3 of 6 frigates were authorized to be completed, the United States, the Constitution, and the Constellation. However, the first naval vessel to sail was the USS on May 24, 1798. At the same time, tensions between the U.S. and France developed into the Quasi-War, which originated from the Treaty of Alliance in 1778 that had brought the French into Revolutionary War, and the United States preferred to take a position of neutrality in the conflicts between France and Britain. But this put the nation at odds with both Britain and France. After the Jay Treaty was authorized, France began to side against the United States, and by 1797, they had seized over 300 American vessels. That's kind of like, it's kind of like, elementary and then high school. I'm mad at Joe Schmo, so you can't talk to them. And that's how countries operate. I'm mad at you, so you can't talk to them. And anybody that does, it's ridiculous how childish it is, but shit happens.
That's why we're in the situation we're in. Well, no, not quite. That's corruption. But, yeah, I get you.
The newly inaugurated president, John Adams, took steps to deal with the crisis, working with Congress to finish the 3 almost completed frigates, approving funds to build the other 3, and then attempting to negotiate an agreement similar to the Jay Treaty with the XYZ affair. Wow, really? Originated with a report distributed by Adams, where alleged French agents were identified by the letters, X, Y, and Z. My God, how original. Who was informed?
Well, back then, they weren't as imaginative as they are today.
Huh?
I said, I guess back then they weren't as imaginative as they are today.
Yeah. Wow, there's a lot left to this. Hold on. I'm going to go ahead and go over, go over to the Navy SEALs because there's like a shit ton of stuff. So, because it's going to go over the War of 1812 and all the way down. So we're going to shift gears and go over to Frogmen. So,
it's very interesting.
Throughout human history, warfare has always been a brutal affair. From the dawn of the agricultural revolution all the way to our present digital age, tribes and nations have fought battles for geopolitical advantage across land, air, and sea. Across the centuries, these armies have always sought the technical advantage, trying to out-innovate their opponents. And it's through such a process of research and innovation, the naval warfare was forever changed during World War II with the introduction of frogmen, or underwater demolition teams, or UDTs, as they're also commonly known. The Second World War was dominated by marine and land-based theaters of war. Such as sea-based tactical units flourished during the war, including demolition units, divers, raiders, scouts, swimmers, and other aquatic companies. So due to the rising need of these type of soldiers and teams, in mid-August 1942, the U.S. Navy and Army began joint training at amphibious training bases, Little Creek, Virginia. Although the teams were initially trained for coastal assault, their duties quickly evolved to include sabotage, recon, and infiltration. Just like I was saying in the TV series, The Last Ship, they actually have Navy SEALs and they have some special forces and then there's an Army Ranger on the, two Army Rangers. They have actually quite a few of the elite that's on the John Paul Jones ship.
Right.
So, early exploits of these teams included invasion of Normandy, North Africa, and portions of the Italian campaign. However, despite preliminary success, politics and intermilitary affairs caused controversy, and all non-Navy members of the Frogman teams were reassigned before the conclusion of World War II. Once the underwater demolition teams had proven their merit and tactical importance in battle, Admiral Ernest J. King mandated the training of over 1,000 more men to join the aquatic forces special teams at Fort Pierce, Florida. Operationally, the earliest predecessors of today's Navy SEALs were the underwater demolition teams, who trained and served under the Office of Strategic Services, outfitted in minimalist fins, masks, and swimwear. These early soldiers, hatchet men, would use stealth infiltration to gain access to an enemy's beach position, then proceed to blow up hardware and equipment and make coastal access invasion more attainable. that's also like combat engineers in the Army.
Right.
They do the same thing. They go in, blow shit up, and then, you know, build bridges, and then the Army used them, and then they would blow them up. Same thing. These clandestine operations were extremely common in both Pacific and European theaters of World War II. However, after the conclusion of the war, the UDTs were sharply reduced. The UDTs, or frogmen, were revived during the Korean War and took part in raids along the coast of Korea. These UDTs were instrumental in sabotaging railroad tunnels and bridges, also several large-scale military demining operations during the Korean conflict. A few years later, under JFK, the U.S. military formed SEAL, Sea, Air, and Land, teams 1 and 2, to advise and instruct soldiers during the conflict in Vietnam. From their outset, SEAL teams were tasked with secretive aquatic operations in rivers, lakes, and oceans. In more recent conflicts, SEALs have played pivotal roles in Afghanistan and Iraq. During Operation Iraqi Freedom, SEALs were instrumental in over 75 active missions during infrastructure, clearing waterways, raids, and, of course, capture and kill operations like the one that took out Osama bin Laden. Whether swimming across enemy lines, sabotaging equipment, or taking out high-value threats, throughout their history, American frogmen, UDTs, and SEALs alike have come to personify and epitomize valor, strength, and elite performance in the 20th and 21st centuries. And that is all on the Navy SEALs. So, Bobby, why don't you put your two cents in about them, about training? All I know is it costs $1 million to train one.
Yep.
Wow, Bobby's worth $1 million?
That's why I said, you know, I can't believe that I can't believe that you know, they're going to try to force vaccinate our military, and if you get the teams to walk away, you're fucked.
Well, the Marines more than any other group are resisting.
Oh, no. Army's resisting, too. That's why we've already lost a third of our military. Because they refuse to get vaccinated.
I didn't mean that other branches weren't. I am just saying, percentage-wise, what they were saying was that the SEALs, the Marines or the SEALs, I forget which, percentage-wise.
Yeah, well, the Marines caved. They caved. The head of the whoever the fuck it is, he caved and told them that they have to get vaccinated. Now, here's the thing. Biden said that any Navy SEAL that refuses to get vaccinated has to repay the $1 million it took to train them.
Yeah, okay. I want to see that happen.
Yeah, I know. Hold on a second. I want to.
He can rank that right up there with his and shove it up his ass with his mandates.
Hold on a second.
That's bullshit. I'm telling you.
Off topic. Did you see that Kamala Harris? She fucked up so bad that her aide had to fake technical difficulties to stop her meeting with whoever the hell it was.
Oh, the one that she was going off on about how Joe Biden is the president, not Joe Biden.
Yeah. Okay. So here it is. So let's start with the Army. So just training alone is $4,000 just to go through basic training. That's it, right? And then it goes up. It could go up as much as $10,000. And that's just to get you through. And then it's up to $40,000. Hold on. No. Well, that's what I'm saying. So it's up to $40,000. I'm saying you're going to, you know, it breaks it down. So I believe, holy shit, to train one single infantryman straight up, $250,000.
Yep. Look up a sniper.
And so I'm getting into it. And then it's $400,000 once you get into your specialty, you know, whatever. And then, hold on a second. I know this is going to go. Oh, no, that's just for Army. Hold on. And then hold on. Air Force.
Yeah, not surprised.
Air Force. Hold on. Air Force cost. Holy shit. You gotta be kidding me.
But.
The holy shit. The cost of training a basic qualified fighter pilot adds up to an estimated $5.6 million for an F-16 pilot and $10 million for an F-35A pilot and $10 million for an F-22 pilot.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why they want them to stay in as long as possible so they get their money's worth.
That's why they got dining halls.
No shit. but to train like a C-17 pilot, it's about $1.1 million for the C-17. So it's your fighter. Now, hey, don't hear me out. Yes, they're called the Chair Force, but your fighter pilots are badass. Now I see why they train and why they get what they get, because.
Right.
You crash, you die. Okay.
Right.
You crash a tank, you could get up, you could limp away, you'll be bruised up, but you get to walk away. You see what I'm saying? You sink a Navy ship, you get on your little lifeboat, and you float away. That's why the Air Force, you know, but then again, not everybody in the Air Force is a pilot. So,
right.
Okay. So let's go on to the Army. We did Air Force. I think that, here it is. I think it's the list of everybody that I didn't have. Yeah, it's expensive. Well, shit. What the hell is it?
And they want to inject these people with something. Look at all the, have you been paying attention to how many athletes, young athletes, have been having to retire due to heart issues in the soccer industry?
Yeah.
How many world-renowned soccer, they're having to stop. And now it's happening here in the United States, and nobody wants to say anything. That 20-year-old NFL player, I think it was, down in Florida or wherever, where he collapsed and died. And nobody's willing to say why, because they know it was from the vaccine.
Holy shit.
What?
Okay. Bobby, you should see this list. Okay. In the Navy, right, the Nimitz class, $6.5 billion.
No way.
Yeah.
In Arleigh Burke, $1.6 billion.
Yeah, and that's just a little destroyer.
Yeah, I mean, there's other ones. I don't know the Phalanx. I don't know all of these, but the Arleigh Burke is the one that was in the movie, the one with the aliens there. You know, the one I'm talking about. What the hell is that movie called? It's got Liam Neeson, and they're doing the Rim Pack and the aliens attack. Those ships, it was an Arleigh Burke class. That's what that was. And I don't know the difference in all of those, but
that
much
I know. Those are, that's what you call your battle group.
Oh,
they're,
okay.
They're the firepower.
Class? Yeah. And they got tens of millions of dollars on each of these battleships and stuff like that. But it's got how much each round costs. One 2,000-pound round on the average costs $160,000.
Wow.
Yeah, you're talking about that. That's usually the rounds that are on, like, the USS New Jersey, the Wisconsin.
Is the USS Ronald Reagan still, or is that decommissioned also?
I believe that got decommissioned a few years ago.
Because didn't they have one after each state? Like Arizona,
yeah,
that
tried,
was at the bottom of Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, they tried to name them after that, and famous, like the ship I was on board for 6 months, that was a fast frigate, which was a destroyer. It was named after Lieutenant Dale Meyercord, who was killed in action in Vietnam.
So what is the difference? Hold on a second. Oh, they got the Gerald Ford, which cost $7.5 billion in 2015 when they made it.
You ought to look up the one that was made by the beams from the Twin Towers. See how much that one cost.
But hold on a second. So yeah, we know it costs a fortune to train people. No, what's the difference between a frigate, a destroyer, a battleship? I know an aircraft carrier. That's obvious, sir.
All right, from what I know, the frigate, the destroyers, which are DE, D is in Delta, E is in Echo. When they first came out with the fast frigates, all they did was redo the DEs and made them fast frigates. They were run salt water boilers.
Okay.
So basically it was just that they graded a destroyer to a fast frigate. And then when you get into the FFGs, they're fast frigate guided, missile guided. In other words, they're nuke ships.
Okay.
They run on nuclear power.
Okay, because here's what they have. Hold on a second. Let me get out of that. So a frigate versus destroyer, what's the difference? If there's a variety of shapes and sizes, depending on, like you said, their capabilities. That's the coolest looking friggin', and that's got to be a frigate, what I'm looking at right here. Frigates and destroyers are the two most common warships in the Navy's fleet. Both are designed for quick maneuverability and can be used to escort and protect larger vessels from air. Okay. So that's what you were talking about. Damn it. So almost every Navy has a frigate.
Then you can get into what they call the original wooden ships. Which is your minesweepers. They're the ones that UDT SEALs are normally attached to because out in the Gulf, we were sent out to detonate mines in the water that were set up to magnetize to the ships as they come through and blow up the bow of the ships. And the reason why they're called wooden ships is because they were actually made out. They're like a tugboat, but they were made out of wood.
Oh, okay.
This way, nothing magnetizing can stick to a wooden ship.
That's interesting.
Hold on, let me see if this. But like you were talking about, it also has a different size gun.
And the joke about fast frigates, they used to call them torpedo, not chasers, torpedo targets, because they're usually on the very outer edges of the bigger aircrafts when they're in fleet, when they're traveling in fleet.
So the frigate is the smallest of the ships, and then they call them cruisers, right? They change the name to cruisers.
Yeah,
you got
missile-guided cruisers, which, like I said, now you're going into nuclear-powered ships.
Okay.
They run on nukes.
And a destroyer is fast and maneuverable, and your battleships are like Cadillacs, and they turn on a dollar bill and not a dime because, you know, they're massive.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So destroyers can destroy other torpedo boats.
Well, see, the fast frigate is the same one that Lorna's brother, that's how I met her brother.
Oh,
he was on it too. And that was capable. We had what they called ASROC launchers, which are missiles that you could take anything out at 15 miles out from 15 miles away. Then we had torpedo tubes on the side where an actual torpedo man would shoot the torpedoes off of. And then on the bow of the ship in front of the ASROC launcher was a 5-inch 54 mount, which shot 5-inch 54 shells.
Now, what the hell is a Corvette? I know it's a car, but
never heard of it.
Of a Corvette? Hold on a second.
I mean, I know
that's
the car.
Yeah, I know. Oh, okay. A Corvette are small ships. They're about 15,000 to 25,000 tons. That's some funky-looking ships. Old Corvettes were like fast attack crafts of today, but modern-day Corvettes are like frigates. The same difference, they carry less amount of weapons and missiles. Corvettes are best in defending your coast. Oh, that's probably what the Coast Guard uses, are the Corvettes. And they can effectively target enemy ships, but they can't perform large-range missions. So the Russians have a lot of Corvettes. That's what they use. And they can only remain at sea for 2 to 3 weeks at a time. So, yeah, Corvette's not something that we really use. Turkey's has them, and so does the Russians. So
because they most likely got them from us.
Yeah, and then most frigates. Well, I don't know how they do their tons, but most frigates are between 30,000 and 60,000 tons. And
now
that one I was on,
I forget the tonnage, but it was 420 feet long, 425 feet long.
My bad, it's 3,000 to 6,000 tons, not 30,000 to 60,000. I'm adding an extra damn zero. And a destroyer is over 7,500. So let me look at head curtain again. Hold on a second. Let's see which ones we have still. Okay, cool. They've got them all. Aw, man. Okay. So, the USS Abraham Lincoln is a Nimitz class. It's an aircraft carrier, and it was decommissioned in 1989. and it's in San Diego. The USS Alabama is an Ohio class, and I don't get all of the I know like the Nimitz, but see, they have the Ohio, the Los Angeles, the America, the San Antonio, the Conderoga, the Arleigh Burke, Whidbey, the Wasp, the Freedom, the Blue Ridge. Yeah, they've got all these different classes. I don't know what the fuck they are, but I'll look it up. What the hell? But the Alabama was decommissioned in 1985. Then there's the USS Albany. Oh, okay, so here it is. The Alabama was a ballistic missile submarine. The Alaska was also a ballistic missile submarine. The Albany was an attack submarine. Let's see, hold on. The USS Alexandria was an attack submarine. The USS America was an amphibious assault ship. These are all decommissioned, every one of these. The Anchorage was an amphibious transport dock. The Annapolis,
well, see,
an attack submarine.
With the decommissioning, what they do is how they decide on what they're going to do with the ship is they offer it to other countries after they strip it. And if the countries don't want to buy them, depending on the age of the ship, if it's older, they'll tow it out and they'll do what they call NGFS, which is Naval Gunfire Support. It's a test.
They sink it?
Yeah, they blow it up and sink it. And they use it as a natural reef.
Yeah.
Now the ones that go into decommission, which there's a ton of them in Philadelphia, because my dad's first two ships are still there.
So, yeah,
now,
they've got four that are getting ready to be decommissioned.
Something else that you probably never knew is, you know where your razor blades come from?
Naval ships?
Yep. All the steel, it's steel. It doesn't rust.
So I've never heard of a lot of these, but a lot of these I've heard of, and honestly, in movies and stuff. They've got the USS Anchorage, Annapolis, Antietam, Anzio, Arleigh Burke. Damn it. I touched my screen. The Arlington, the Asheville, the Ashland, Bainbridge, Barry, Baton, Benfold, Billings. The Blue Ridge is still in operation, and it's an amphibious command ship, and they built it in 1970, and it's the oldest deployed ship, and it's in Yokosuka, Japan. But there's also the Boise, the Boxer, Bunker Hill.
It's called Yokosuka, Japan.
Oh, Yokosuka, whatever, semantics.
And we call it Yokosuka because of the way it's spelled.
The Carl Vinson, I've heard of that. It's a Nimitz class aircraft carrier.
Yeah, that's the one that shot down. And they tried to say that it was a commercial airline during Desert Storm because they found dead bodies in the water, and the bodies were naked and already dead before they hit the water when Saddam Hussein was in charge.
The Chancellorsville is also when they're in Japan. And that's scheduled to be decommissioned in 2026. There's the Charleston, the Charlotte, the Cheyenne, the Chicago, the Chief, the Chinook, or the Shithook, the Chosin, Chung Hoon, Cincinnati, the USS Cole. I've heard of that. That's an Arleigh Burke destroyer.
Yeah, the Cole was the one where we lost those sailors heading into the Iraq War, where they blew the bow of the ship, the USS Cole.
Oh, okay. The USS Constitution, the original six frigates, classic frigate, is the oldest commissioned vessel in the U.S. Navy. Then
yeah,
there's
the
Coronado. I've heard of that one. Huh?
We call them battle buckets.
Ah. The Curtis Wilbur, the Daniel. I can't pronounce his last name, whatever. Delaware, the Delbert D. Black, the Detroit, the Devastator, and it's an Avenger.
Now, see, you just named Detroit. Those type of ships, now they're called an AOE, which is ammunition, oil, and explosives. They're basically like a supply ship.
Oh, okay. Well, it's going to be decommissioned next year. The Donald Cook, the Dwight D. Eisenhower. That's an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, the Ike.
The Essex, the Farragut, the Firebolt, the Fitzgerald, the Florida. So, I mean, I don't even know who half these people are.
Right. Well, like I said,
George H.W. Bush.
Yeah, a lot of the names are common names like Fitzgerald and all that. They're usually named after somebody famous from a previous war.
Yeah, I mean, and then there's a lot of presidents. Like they just built the Gerald R. Ford. They just built
right.
it in 2017.
Yeah.
The Gladiator.
Because you really want to get into it, we also have hydrofoils, too. The ones where the ships come up out of the water.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
The what?
The hydrofoil. They kind of look like
no.
a boat that skis, that water skis.
Oh, those things. Gotcha.
Yeah, they cruise in the water, but when they go to really take off, they come up out of the water, up on two. That's the only way I can explain it. Looks like two skis. And they're real fast.
Okay. I'm a little confused.
You know what Confucius said?
I know. So, like I said, in that TV series, The Last Ship, right, they had the John Paul Jones, and they said it wasn't a ship, but the John Paul Jones is a ship. It was made
yeah.
in 1990. Well, of course, John Paul Jones is probably, never mind. Because the book was made before the John Paul Jones was actually made.
Right.
So never mind. That kind of just answered my question. Because when I looked up, and it's an Arleigh Burke destroyer, and I'm like, the fuck? They said that did not exist. so there's a... I'm telling you, because it's also in the movie Battleship. That's what it was, the one with Liam Neeson, the John Paul Jones
yeah.
that got blown up.
Yeah, okay, now I know now I know what movie you're talking about.
Yeah. There's the John S. McCain, useless. Lake Champlain. I'm trying to look at some of these other. Yeah, like I said, I've never heard of half of this ship. Of course, I was not in the Navy, so I wouldn't know And they don't always mention all of these ships. And a lot of these are in Japan.
Yeah, and a lot of times you need to do like I do, Kim. Go visit a Navy base. I've been on a lot of Army, Marine. Whenever I see a base, I go. Because you learn
different things.
You get to see the do you have a VA card with medical card?
Yeah.
You can go on base.
At Fort Campbell, they will not let you on post with a VA card.
That's bullshit. That's nationwide.
I know it's bullshit.
It's nationwide.
I know. They told me I had to go get a new CAT card for disabled or retired vets. And they were having issues. But no,
that's
I would love
bullshit.
To. I would love to go to different so the USS Ronald Reagan has not been decommissioned. Well, hold on a second. Let me see. If it was, oops, shit. No, it has not been decommissioned.
I thought it was slated to be.
It's in Japan right now.
Huh.
Yeah there's a lot that.
I don't know
Japan,
if they I don't know if they decommissioned it, but the Midway, which was another aircraft carrier. That was stationed out of Yokosuka.
Hold on.
USS
I'm going to
tell
you right now. Hold on. Where are you at? Midway, Mobile, Missouri. They don't even have that on here.
The Midway.
No shit. It's alphabetical. They do not have the Midway.
Well, then they decommed
it. I know my alphabet. Yeah. Because they have Michael Mansour, Michael Murphy, and Michael Murphy. Why does that name sound familiar? That's why.
Vietnam,
okay.
It was the Vietnam vet.
No, Michael Murphy was in the movie, Lone Survivor with.
Yeah, him too. But I'm saying. Michael Murphy was a highly decorated Special Forces.
Oh yeah, Pat. Never mind. That was Lieutenant Michael Murphy from 1770. Oh no, this is when he was born. Yeah, that's who that was
about.
Yeah,
you got the You got the walking encyclopedia sitting next to you.
Yeah, shut up. they are the USS, the Nimitz, which is, never mind, that's not the USS. Oh, it is the Nimitz. Yeah, I was just going to say the Nimitz is an Arleigh Burke class. No, why do they call it that? No, it's the U.S. Nimitz is a supercarrier, and it's one of the largest warships in the world.
Yeah.
That's nuclear-powered. And then there's the NITZ, the N-I-T-Z-E. The game's over? Holy shit. But that's an Arleigh Burke destroyer. The NITZ-E, whatever the fuck you want to call it. The Omaha. Hold on a second. Let's go. I'm just looking at some of these cool names. The Rafael Peralta is a destroyer, and they just made it. Ralph Johnson. Let's look and see who they're named after. Whatever. It doesn't say, but. So the USS Ramage is an Arleigh Burke class guided missile destroyer named after Vice Admiral Lawson Ramage. a notable submarine commander and Medal of Honor recipient in World War II. Then the Roosevelt, the Rushmore. Wow, it's pretty cool that we have all of these ships still.
Yeah.
And some of these are made in the 80s.
Yeah.
And they're going to decommission them. Yeah. So, yeah, if they were made in the 80s, they're going to be decommissioned next year between 2022 and 2025. The USS Wichita. Oh wow. So is a Freedom Class literal combat ship of the US Navy, the third ship named after Wichita, the largest city in Kansas. Wow. We have a ship named after our city. I feel so special. And then, what the fuck is non-commissioned?
Non-commissioned officers.
Oh, is that what it is? They have the Alan Shepard, Amelia Earhart, Apache, Arctic, Arrowhead. Let's see. Bob Hope. Wow. These are tugs, cargo ships, and things like that. Surveillance. Pretty cool. I mean, I got all the Army shit, you know, all the helicopters, and you go to Fort Campbell, and you get all of that stuff from them. But, okay, the Guadalupe. I just love looking at some of these names. Oh, so they and the Laramie and the Leroy, Grumman, those are replenishment oilers. So a vehicle cargo ship is the Pomeroy, the Puerto Rico. Wow. And then they have all of the support ships, and it's a barracks ship where they put them on a. Holy shit.
Floating barracks.
Damn. Yeah. Wow. I thought they stayed on the ship.
Not if you if they're overhauling like their berthing area.
Oh, okay.
Or they need extra space for special command.
Oh, okay. They have the Neil Armstrong, and that's the oceanographic research ship. You know what I want to go on? And it's got to be on here somewhere. Hold on a second. I want to find it. What the hell is it called? Shit. The one that's the floating hospital.
There's two of them, the Mercy and the, starts with a C.
Which is the one that John saw?
I think it's the other one that I'm trying to, the USS Comfort.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking for. But it's not on here. Oh, they're building. Oh, wow. Holy shit. You should see how many ships they're building. Some have already come out. I mean, they've got an absolute shit ton of ships. But they don't have they don't have the Comfort on here.
Huh.
And it's so weird. They don't have here it is. hospital ship. There it is. They don't have them listed. The USNS Comfort. It was made in 2009. I really would love to go on that ship because it looks freaking awesome.
Oh, they are. That's where I had to go when the first time with my eye when I got a piece of metal in it. And then the Nimitz, they had to fly me to the Nimitz during Desert Storm because I had an impacted wisdom tooth.
Well, yeah, they've got a dentist on the ship. They've got doctors. They have everything on those fucking ships.
Yep.
You know? But that's all. I mean, there's no way I'm going to be able to get into the rest of this tonight. But there were, the Navy was in the War of 1812, the Continental Expansion. Hold on a second. Let's get it out. Civil War. They got involved in that. The decline of the Navy was from 1865 to 1882. Then, like I said, the new Navy, where they rebuilt it in 1882 to 1898. And then they were in the Spanish-American War. And then it talks about the rise of the modern-day Navy. And then World War One. Let's see. Talks about all of that. Then it goes into submarines and how they got involved. And then World War Two. And then, damn it. How carriers came out, and then the Cold War revolt. There was the revolt of the admirals, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Soviet exchange, and then that's it. So, if anybody wants any information, I've got all this shit stored, or you could go on Wikipedia and find it for yourself. But that should be it. So,
I didn't hear you mention was the Yorktown. Now that's down
here. Oh, that was one of them.
That's down here in Charleston, and they had converted it into honoring Purple Heart Warriors.
Yeah.
Along with the museum.
Now,
I heard that they were going to be moving it, but I haven't heard nothing since. That's a neat ship to go on board.
So, the I guess the largest naval base is Pearl Harbor, the one in Florida. Let's see, the NWS Concord, in Concord, California. China Lake, that's in the Mojave Desert region. The San Diego, I know where that one, I've seen the Coronado, ow. I'm trying to find out where they're at. Oh, that's in San Diego as well. Let's see. Listen, I'm getting really sick of this computer. San Clement Island. Point Loma.
San Clemente Island is where the Navy, the San Diego, the ships in San Diego, that's where they do all their gunfiring.
Seal Beach
is in Virginia. That's a weapons depot.
San Nicolas Island. I was just looking to see. I don't want to go to California because California sucks.
Land of the fruits and nuts.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see what state. I'm going to go back up to the top and see the state. Well, I mean, like, I know they're in Virginia. Is it Norfolk, Virginia?
Yeah.
Yep.
So they're in California, Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Illinois, and Indiana. Why isn't it in Alabama? In Gulf Shores. That's fucked up. Louisiana,
we'll
Maine,
see.
Maryland, Mississippi.
Well, see, there are a few bases that you won't hear about either.
True. My battery's dying. Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York. A naval base in North Dakota. Sure. and Tennessee. Go figure.
Hey, I got one even better. I got one even better for you. You know where they send all what they call the fire controlmen, the ones that shoot the like the lasers and I call it R2D2. It's a phalanx system that's like a Gatling gun that locks onto a target and it shoots it until it's no more.
Yeah.
In New Jersey, 3 miles from the town that I grew up in, out in the middle of a cornfield, there's a ship.
Oh, is there?
And that's where their school is. To train all Navy personnel that are into like radar and like I said, fire controlmen, which are the ones that operate the electronic systems on the unmanned type of weapons.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's pretty neat because you're driving down the road and you look out to your left in the middle of a cornfield and there's a freaking ship.
Shouldn't be driving drunk, Bobby. You're seeing ships out in the middle of the land.
Well, that's all I got. My battery's about to die. So...
Well, your timing is good because he's got like 12 minutes.
But if you want to go ahead and end now before my battery dies and I disappear.
All right.
Yeah, sure.
It was a great show. I think it was
cool.
Usual.
I'm glad.
Now we'll do Marine Corps next week. So get your crayons ready.
No, we're not.
Why?
No, we're not. It's Christmas, isn't it? Next weekend?
Oh, that's
Christmas
right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Following week.
that's New Year's Day. So who cares? So we'll do Crayon Day. We'll do Crayon Day the next week.
Yeah.
And all you Marines, call us in with your favorite flavor of crayon. So, and all right,
ladies.
We're going to do our Christmas thing, right? You got the whole thing for Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure that you had enough songs for the whole
two hours for Christmas Day. Yeah, I know. Do we want to do it during the day or do I want to do it at night?
Go ahead and do it during the day.
Okay.
Yeah, do it during the day because at night I'm going to either be celebrating with my family or doing the church thing. I don't know yet.
Right.
No. That way people can play it if they want. while they're either, preparing for Christmas dinner or whatever.
No. When my family does stuff, we don't really play stuff in the background, music in the background. So I would miss out.
Oh, I tell them to suck it up. I tell them, suck it up, Buttercup. We're playing Christmas music.
No, we talk loud, and and the things we do, we would miss out on it. We either sit and listen to. I mean, we love music. We love Christmas music. It's just that trying to listen to. I would miss out. So during the day would be better for me.
What would you think, 12 to 2, Bobby?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
Alrighty.
Okay.
All right, ladies. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for input. And thanks for the show. Everybody, have a wonderful night. God bless America. God bless our children, our veterans, first responders, and our military. And God bless the Defender 7. Good night.
God bless. Good night.
Good night.